My apologies, I was muted. I thought everybody else was muted. We've restarted the recording at 10:23. We'll do a roll call. Dr. Cornwall?
Here.
Dr. King?
Here.
Dr. Bustillo?
Here.
Mr. Clinton?
Here.
Mr. Greer?
Here.
And Mr. Leone is absent. All are present. And we, Dr. Cornwall?
Okay. We're going to return to item 6A, case 18-39, Joshua Bitten, physical therapist. And I propose that we direct staff to reinstate his license.
Did you say instruct staff or delegate to staff?
Delegate.
And is that pending completing every piece of the board order?
My understanding is that he has completed everything. He's completed his continuing education, et cetera. So that this is the last thing. And it would prevent us having to either have a special meeting to address his reinstatement or move it to next month. I see that this would be efficient.
The only piece that's left out of the completing everything on the border was monitoring, which we approved the monitoring company today. So
You're right.
Motion pending. Once that's done, and then we can delegate to Judy or the board staff to reinstate his certificate once all of those pieces are done.
Well, in order to do the monitoring, he needs to have his license. So,
yeah. If I may, Dr. Cornwall, members of the board, the item on the agenda today was consideration and possible action on accepting his proposed monitoring contract. You've already done that. I would argue that, you know, based upon the wording, the plain wording of the consent agreement and order, while he was under the order, his license was suspended for 6 months, subject to timely completing various continuing education requirements. He obtained, pursuant to the order, pre-approval for that. Since it's an objective measurement, I think board staff can just go ahead, if you're comfortable with it, reinstating the license so that he can begin the next phase of his probation, which is practicing while being monitored.
Understood. Thank you.
Well, I'm comfortable with delegating to staff. How does everybody else feel?
Yes.
I'm fine with it.
So, Mr. Harris, do we need a vote? Should we just make that happen?
No, I don't think that we need a vote for this. You know, this will be captured in the minutes. And I think at the appropriate time, board staff can take the necessary steps to reinstate his license so that he can continue, you know, meeting the terms and conditions of the board order.
Yeah. And so once he finishes monitoring, chart review, et cetera, we'll see this again. So.
That's exactly correct.
Mr. Harris, so in my notes I can put it'll be reinstated to probation/restricted, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
All right. That should take care of 6A. Let's move down to 7B, Human Resources, presentation by ADOA, Human Resources regarding board options for permanent executive director position and possible action on selecting one of those options. So who is it that from the, is it Mr. Robertson?
It's Sean McConnell. Sean McConnell is here. He may just be on the phone. Mr. McConnell?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right. So most of this is for information for the board on what we can do and what, you know, what would be the process if we selected one option versus another.
Okay. So there are, two options, basically two ways we can do this. We can post a competitive position, you know, where the general public and everyone internal or external can apply. And then we get through resumes and do interviews and then select someone from that pool. Or we can do a direct hire to where if we have individuals identified and we say, hey, we have four people identified and, you know, we're just going to interview them and make a decision on, you know, on one of those. Okay. Either way, after we do a, after we select the candidate, all I'm going to need is an email with a completed path, and that I would get with Judy on, and the agreed upon offer. Nothing to be signed by an individual to accept an offer, just an agreed verbal offer. And then I got to turn it over to the governor's office for approval, which probably takes like maybe 2-3 days.
Okay.
And then once it gets approved, I move ahead and go ahead and hire that individual for the position. So it really comes down to, do we want to post it competitively and have everyone, including internal people, apply? Or if, like I said, we have certain individuals in mind and we just don't want to post it, we want to hold individual interviews and then make a selection from there.
Is there any particular way that we should be going about identifying candidates if we do the second option?
I'm sorry, say again, sir.
Is there any specific way that we ought to use to identify possible candidates to interview for option number two?
Well, and yes, and also what we can do, I can also post the position simply internal, and that way we give everyone, just internal state employees the option to go ahead and apply, you know, just to go internal first. Is that what you meant?
All right, so. Yeah, I'm glad you just clarified. Sometimes I think internal would be with internal within the board, but you're talking about internal within the state and all
with,
the state.
Exactly, within the state.
Okay. Would we be able to identify individuals for a direct hire that are state employees, but they're not generally part state. They're local to the board.
Oh, definitely. Yes, definitely.
Okay. Yep. All right.
And in that case, sir, if they are not a state employee, what I can do is once I did post it internally or whatever, you would simply, or Judy, I would get with her. She would simply tell me, hey, Tom or Nancy wants to apply, and I will build their profile and attach their profile to the actual posting.
Okay. Does any board members have questions about the two options, how we might be able to proceed? All right. Well, is there any feeling amongst the board members about which way we ought to proceed?
It's Kelly. I'm just curious, how would we identify someone internally if it's not, you know, if it's not posted? You know, like how does that get communicated out? How do we glean potential candidates? How do they let us know they're interested in this role?
Okay. Good question. So if we chose not, usually a higher manager, board, whatever, If they choose not to post it, they already have candidates in mind. However, if we just don't want to post it and we want to put the word out, say, to our board, you know, exclusively, I can work with Judy and we can just blast out an email to all, you know, to whatever employees or individuals and let them know, hey, we're hiring for this position. Are you interested or not? And we can give them all the criteria. And then if they are interested, then we can go ahead and set up different interviews and then from there make a selection. And then if we interviewed people and then we were like, we're not getting anywhere, let's go ahead and post it competitively. We can do that as well.
Okay. And then, do we know, or is there a place, and perhaps I have it, I don't even know I have it, what the job description and the minimum requirements are for a qualified candidate?
Yes, and good question. And as I was reading the summary this morning, I reached out to my class in comp, and I got her to send me over the completed and updated job description with all the criteria. And so I will share that with Judy, and she can disseminate it down to who's ever eyes. And that way, when we reach out to specific candidates, maybe like internal within the board, we can say, boom, here's all the criteria, here's the pay, here's everything involved. Does that make sense?
It does to me. So
yes.
Any questions or? All right. So we can. It sounds like we can let our representative from the ADOA. Human resources kind of leave the meeting if he wants. And
okay.
I would appreciate some discussion amongst the board on what we would like to do.
Yeah, definitely. And Judy, I will follow up with you later on this afternoon if that's fine.
Yes, thank you, Sean.
Okay, you guys have a good day.
Mr. Harris.
You too.
Would it be appropriate to go into executive session for discussion of personal information, or should we do it as an open session?
Unless you have legal questions, we would probably need to discuss the process in which the board wants to adopt for filling the position in open session.
Okay. All right. So. We'll stay in open session. So what are board members' feelings?
Kelly, my initial thought would be to look, internally first. We had several candidates interested in the interim. They may be interested in the permanent position. And so, looking at internal candidates might be a good place to start. And if that ends up not being the case and we don't have any applicants internally, then we can go from there. But it would be, I think, a valid question to ask first.
Okay. All right. So so obviously the second option, but it would be restricted to those board staff, so to speak. If they're interested, and then move out if necessary.
I would like to see the job description that Sean's going to be able to provide a little bit later.
Yeah.
And that I think that would help us make a more informed decision.
Yeah, I agree.
I personally don't feel like there's a rush that we need to do something. So we could put this on the next agenda or a future agenda to look over the job description if everybody's comfortable with that.
Do we have a sense, and I probably should have asked HR. I know with some organizations, the hiring and interviewing and offer process can take months. So I'm wondering what the time frame is with the state ADOA here on looking at, you know, permanent job offer.
I think the timeline was, if I remember correctly, the timeline was relatively flexible. There was something like a 6 month, and then there was a year. So I don't know that there's something that we need to move on real quick. You're right. I also got the impression that if it took us longer than we thought, we could get some type of an extension. Judy, when he sends you that job description, maybe you could ask if there's time constraints.
So, I'll do that.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Anything else? This appears kind of like our previous one, is that I don't know that we need to make it a motion, but it sounds like unless there's any dissenting opinions, that we'll go with the second option and look internally within the board. Any other opinions? Okay, that's what we'll do then, all right?
So, Dr. Cornell, members of the board, just so that I'm clear for purposes of working with Judy on the November agenda, we're in essence gonna re-agendize this next month, and in the interim, Judy's gonna obtain from ADOA a copy of the job description, and that'll be part of your materials in November for you to consider on the job description, and then giving Judy further direction on, or ADOA further direction on the process the board would like to follow with respect to filling the position on a permanent basis.
That's the way I, and that would also, once we get the job description, then we can kind of like use that as part of the announcement so that everybody who may be interested can see the job description, the salary range, you know, and they can make up their own mind.
Okay. Yeah. And so we'll invite the representative from ADOA to a November meeting, it sounds like.
I wasn't thinking that, but if you think it's appropriate, let's do that.
Well, it might, you know, and I'll defer to Judy, of course, but it might be a good idea if any of the board members have additional questions, even with respect to how to, you know, modify the job description.
Oh, I never thought of modifying the job description. Okay. All right. So, yeah, let's see if we can get them back on for the November meeting.
I'll do that.
Okay. Any other discussion comments of this item? Okay. Then let's move to 7C, MDR Solutions Monitoring Company. Mr. Roberson, all right. So this is a presentation by you. So if you can, you know, give us a brief description of what solution MDR solution monitoring company will do and your qualifications, et cetera.
Thank you for your time. Thanks for your time. Thank you very much. I'm coming through okay because currently I'm working in Globe and it just seems that when the wind blows, the internet goes down for some odd reason. But so if I drop off, please let me know and I'll just dial in. But I had prepared a brief summary of kind of my background. In addition to getting my degree in physical therapy, I have a master's of business administration in health sector management. In terms of physical therapy, administrative and regulatory areas, I have worked for the past, I think, 5 years with Arizona Professional Monitoring. I participated in 6 physical therapists and 1 physical therapist assistant cases. Concurrently, I also am the primary quality assurance documentation reviewer for PTPN, and also act as one of the utilization reviewers, predominantly for workers' compensation cases for PTPN. My physical therapy clinical experience over the past 40 years, pretty much everything except specified pediatrics, and I've been a member of the American and Arizona Physical Therapy Associations for 40 years now. And I was just recently a member of the Arizona Practice Committee for Arizona Physical Therapy Association. So bottom line, I guess, is that I come before you now to address you about my opportunity to continue to offer professional monitoring services for therapists and assistants as ordered by this board. And if you would like a full resume, I can certainly send that to you. But I've been providing these monitoring services, as I said, through a prior agency. And I'd like to give you an idea of what you can expect from my monitoring services. And the name of it now is Copper State Professional Monitoring. I didn't have one at the time, so it will be formed under MDR Solutions, LLC, DBA, Copper State Professional Monitoring. And my goal in monitoring is restoration, and I recognize that these people have worked hard to obtain licensure, and they now find themselves in danger of losing that license or certainly restrictions put on that license. And while I take their offenses very seriously, we work together, and it's my goal that it takes to regain their stand and move toward meeting the requirements of board actions, and I maintain dignity in all our interactions, constantly reminding them of the commitment to professionalism, ethical practice. So the reports that I send to the board will be timely, thorough, and organized. I'll be readily available to the board and also to those I'm monitoring for any concerns, and will maintain prompt communication. The bottom line is professionalism, restoration, and the continuation of the life and vitality of our profession are important to me, and I've witnessed this. I've been on the meetings since it started, and you know that just comes through with everything that you guys are doing. So I would appreciate the opportunity to continue to monitor these therapists and assistants who need my services, and I come to you asking for approval of Copper State Monitoring. Thanks for your attention, and I'm here to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Does any board member have questions? My understanding is that the question is whether if we approve, then he would be added to the list of approved monitoring companies, not the exclusive, but it would be the list. And so if they contact the office, they would be provided with all the monitoring companies that we have approved, and he would be on that.
Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, just as a reminder, it is not on the agenda today for any type of board action. It's merely a presentation by Mr. Robertson of his company services.
So we would, for possible approval, then we would have to add that to the future meeting?
You may want to go to, again, I apologize, executive session for legal advice if you have any questions regarding what your options are with pre-approval of monitoring companies.
Would anyone like to go into executive session for legal advice? All right. I think it sounds like we've had enough executive sessions.
And again, just as a reminder, it is only on the agenda today for presentation of services.
Okay. All right. So
I have a question. Are you currently licensed in Arizona?
Oh, yes, I am. I have license number 884.
That's a low number.
Hey, what are you saying? Yes, it is. I was in the first class of physical therapists at NAU.
All right, any other questions? All right. Well, Mr. Roberson, thank you very, very much. And we will deal with this at a future meeting.
All right, thank you very much.
We can move to item D. Is there somebody from the practice committee here? Let's just give him a few minutes. That since I thought for sure we would be done with his agenda a lot earlier than this. Let's go to E. December 28th meeting discussion, review, consideration, possible action regarding rescheduling the December 28th board meeting. So, if you look at your calendars, it obviously shows that we have a meeting that was scheduled for the 28th. We have the option, if you wish, to move that. We can move it up to the 21st. We could technically even move it up to the 14th. But does anyone feel like it would be appropriate and necessary to move the meeting from the 28th?
This is Mr. Greer. I would prefer to leave it on the 28th, but that's just me. That's a lot easier week for me than the week before, and I'm unavailable on the 14th.
Okay. Right. Other opinions, suggestions, thoughts?
Josh, would you be available on the 21st by any chance?
Reluctantly.
I can do either.
Yeah, I cannot do the 28th. That's for those of us in healthcare, we have to work all the way up to Christmas. If we're going to take any time off, it's after. So I won't be unavailable that week after Christmas.
For those of us in legal profession, we work both before and after Christmas.
Wow. Wow. There you go.
Yeah, but they're billable hours.
We have to finish everything by the end of the year.
Yeah.
But my week, usually the week before Christmas is really, really easy for me, and the week after Christmas is much more flexible. And so I'm available both days, but if I had a preference, I'd keep the meeting where it is.
And I can probably do both.
Not that it matters, but I do want to let you know I will not be able to attend the November meeting. I'll be in training in Cleveland. So the November 30th, I won't be here.
Okay.
But I could do the 20th. I can do the 28th as well. No, I can't. I'll be gone. Sorry. Out.
All right, so you're not available on the 28th, and you're not available in November's, which is the 30th, right? Sure. Okay, are they doing the training in Cleveland so that you are more focused on the training?
Yes, because it's too cold to go out.
Yeah.
I think just having the meeting in Cleveland is enough for that.
Right?
Yeah. So, do I have a motion? I mean, without a motion, let's just keep it on the 28th. I want to make sure that we have a quorum. Otherwise, we won't have any meeting. We don't know about the new member. whether or not he's available, and he might have a similar kind of issue as Joshua does. Would it be really inconvenient if we left it as is and then found out if Joshua or Giovanni had problems, we could address it again next month? Does that make staff? I don't want to push deadlines that staff have that we're not necessarily aware of.
As far as we know, we can check with both Giovanni and Mr. Barton, the new member, to double check.
Do you know if either of them expressed an opinion yet?
No, neither have.
I move that we leave the meeting on the 28th, but leave it open that we can revisit if necessary.
Okay, so would you like it re-agendized then potentially for November?
Yes.
Yeah, let's play it safe. So if we gather information in between, we can always take it off the agenda before. So if we get it, anyway, let's put it on the November agenda. And that's for today. We'll just leave it as is.
Okay. Do we need to take a vote if we're not making any kind of changes, Mr. Harris? No. Okay.
All right. Let's go to item F. This is a summary of the Federation Delegate Assembly. Mr. Greer and Dr. King, both of you are there. This was just to kind of get board members an update, kind of fill us in on what happened, if there were any major decisions or conversations that happened, things that we need to know about. So who would like to go first?
Dr. King, would you like to go first?
The parts that I was able to get myself into were really more about the delegate voting and member voting. And so, no, I mean, we were able to vote new members into the board. And then there were some amendments to current rules around reporting to the board. But I was not able to get into the discussion about any changes to the compact privilege. I'm looking at the website right now to see if there's a summary or minutes or things. Josh, were you able to listen to that conversation?
I was. I participated in the Federation's workshop, the Federation's annual meeting. Those occurred on Saturday, and then the annual compact meeting on Sunday. I was able to participate in all of those.
Right.
Those meetings really beg to be conducted in person. There was very, very little discussion on any of the items. The compact did adopt the amendment that we discussed at our last meeting unanimously, but there was very little substantive discussion about that. There's some nuances with the compact. I don't have the data, but we're in a majority of states. I want to say it's 33 jurisdictions with several more considering compact legislation. And that's kind of it. It was an informative meeting, but the takeaway for our board was they did make an amendment to the compact bylaws attempting to address our issues. As we discussed in our last board meeting, we are, I guess, cautiously optimistic whether any substantive effect. It still boils down to the licensee, reading and following what we ask them to do. So.
All right. Does any board member have questions for either Mr. Greer or Dr. King? All All right. Well, thank you very much for attending what you can and did. We appreciate it. All right. And if there's nothing else on this item, let's. How about the September financials?
I have a question. The large bump in personal services, is that like scheduled for December? Is that because there's five pay dates or something like that?
With respect to the personal services, you're talking about the October portion, not the September portion. I believe what that has to do with is the paperwork, documentation, and monies with respect to the payouts of Karen's policies and Karen's basically the vacation time that she had still and all of that component. So that was paid out. I believe it hit the books in October. So I think that is what you are seeing.
Well, no, my question was referring to December. So it's a budgeted number. It's quite... the only other month that's the same is June. That has some. Is that multiple pay dates?
Oh. Or, no, I don't believe so. I know what they do on that bottom section of the expenditures is they typically will place. They'll spread out the appropriations based on a anticipated breakdown monthly. And as the months go on, they put the actual numbers in there. And so I believe what they do is they push any monies that haven't been properly accounted for just yet because they haven't been spent yet or realized yet, whatever the case may be. I believe that's what they do is they put it into those sections because
I understand that. So the actual yearly budget stays the same and
right.
You plug the number in twice a year to get it to equal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That makes sense.
That's my understanding of it this far. I'm always learning with respect to the financials and understanding how all of this goes. But if I find additional information, I'll certainly let you know. But yes, I was curious about that myself as I was watching it go month by month, wondering where the numbers were kind of coming from. And then I realized that they take those line items and they expand it across the entire year, starting at the beginning of the fiscal year. And then everything gets adjusted as it goes on and reality comes into play.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions or discussion about the financials? Let's go back up to D, APTA Practice Committee presentation. Is there anyone here for that?
Laura Davis had indicated to me that she was looking to see if there was somebody who could join other than herself, so we didn't know for sure if that was the case. She was going to try to join as closely to 11 as possible. I told her if she missed if the meeting went on and the opportunity was missed, we would need to place it on a different agenda, discuss it with the board for that re-agendizing.
So unless there's... let's move it to a future meeting.
Okay.
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 And item H is licensees and certificates for your information. And there's no other items, so can I have a motion for adjournment?
I move to adjourn.
Been moved?
Second.
And moved and seconded. Okay, so let's call that vote.
It has been moved and seconded to adjourn. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
The meeting is adjourned.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Bye.
Board staff, I think board staff is planning to stay on the line.
Yes. Pardon? Yes.
Oh.
The board staff was planning to stay on the line.
Okay. And Dr. King, enjoy Cleveland.
Duty recording.
Thanks, Mark.
11:04.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh.